everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm George Massey. This is the George Massey Show. We're a day late because we're going to be talking Forbidden Love and The Other Way tonight. Normally on Mondays, but there was a lot of craziness that happened. Dee Dee and Kara both had some weird issues where they couldn't join us last night. And I was like, well, I don't want to do it without them. So, and tonight, Kara's having some issues at work and she can't join us again tonight. So I don't know who specifically does not want us to do amazing and they don't want to see us win, but we're going to keep pushing through. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Indigo. Hi, Trisha. Hi, everybody. We miss you, Kara. We hope everything at work gets situated and you got to come back ASAP. Hi, Jax. Hi, everybody. So yeah, we're gonna get into this. So yeah, I don't know who doesn't want us to all get together, right? I don't know what's going on.
How's everybody doing?
I hope everyone's doing good, right? Like the ironic part is it's thundering outside right now, and I think whatever you got yesterday, it's making its way into
still here. It's still here.
Oh really?
It's very bad. Yeah, it's really bad. So
oh no.
Maybe my internet a whole. Hold up and I don't disappear.
Oh my god. Well, luckily these are the shorter shows, so I think should we do The Other Way first? I feel like there's more stuff to talk about.
Yeah,
for The Other Way. So okay, let me get my notes because there is some stuff that I wanted to discuss. And so Corona got to Iceland, right? And you know, remember we did some research and there really is like a very small amount of black people in Iceland. I think we talked about this before. And Inky did not prepare a place for her. Like, she didn't have anywhere to put her clothes. And it kind of seems like he's, like, into this relationship. Do you get that vibe? Like, he's kind of happy that his booty call is now in-house. But he's not, like, really into her. You know, like, or because, first of all, she moved to Iceland for a man who hasn't proposed to her, right? Like, and I'm not saying that women are validated by a man proposing to them, but for you to give up your whole life to move to Iceland for a guy who didn't even say he wanted to marry you, like that's insanity for me. And I want better for her, right? Like I know that she's in love, but I would need to know that that person is in love with me before I pack up all my stuff and move across the world. And did you notice she brought a lot of luggage? Because remember we watched The Other Way, we kind of gauge how long the person is going to stay in that country based on how much luggage they have. Like, remember, Shekinah only had, like, 3 bags. Corona had, like, 10 bags of luggage. I think she really, in her mind, thought that she was going to stay in Iceland this whole time, right?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, can we talk about the shoes? I mean, I like her style. She's got a different style, but her shoes. Oh, my gosh.
Wait, you mean the boots? The boots,
yes.
Right?
Yes, her boots. Yes. Can we talk about the boots?
So where I'm from in Louisiana, those boots, I don't know. I was raised like in a really religious family, but like those were called streetwalkers, like streetwalker boots.
Yeah,
I know,
what did like, you say? She said it made her look like a princess vampire or a vampire princess.
Yeah, I'm definitely not as close-minded as when I was growing up. I know that, you know, the type of shoes you wear don't make you a streetwalker. See, the thing is, she reminded me a lot of Ashley from Happily Ever After, but I feel like she's nothing like Ashley. I actually like her, you know, and, you know, I can't stand Ashley specifically, like, as a person. Like, her personality, I just don't get it. But, like, I feel like Corona's a nice, like, good, fun, bubbly person, right? And, yeah. You know, I feel like her style is really quirky and different. And I can see how she ended up in Iceland chasing after some guy named Inky. Like, that all fits into her personality. I know, well, you know, the story went out already. I don't know if y'all care or if you want me to not say it, of what the demise, what happened with their relationship. That already went out last week. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it yet. So don't spoil it for me.
We won't talk about it, but it was, wait, George, tell us how you really, that is where I really feel. We won't talk about what happened, though. It was a publication in Iceland that covered their relationship, and it told what happened. But, you know, if you want to know specifically, send me a DM, and I'll tell you, and I'll try to find the link to it. Shibuti posted it. You know, he's like the king of finding out any type of information that you want to know that's going to spoil the whole season, that's where you go. Go to his page, and he's going to ruin the whole season. He's already posting stuff about Before the 90 Days, which premieres in September. And he's already posting stuff, and I'm like, geez, can we, like, at least...
Shabuti is wrong for that. Yeah. Shabuti is wrong.
He's already posting stuff for that, and I'm like, I don't even know the couples yet, so, like, don't ruin it already. Like, because he already... You know, he posted the stuff with Statler, so we knew the outcome of Statler before the whole thing aired. Also, Statler wasn't on this episode, so I felt cheated. Did you feel cheated? I felt really cheated on this episode. But Josh and Lily were on this episode, and they went to do a massage, which is a very traditional thing in China. You know, she wanted to take him to have a traditional Chinese massage, which, in my opinion, I get it. When someone comes to see you from another country, even from another state, right? Like, when you come to see me here in Florida, I like to take you and take you around to do Florida stuff, right? Like, I feel like it's part of the hospitality, right? So if you come visit me, for instance, when I lived in Ohio, if you would have came to visit me in Ohio, I would have taken you to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I would have taken you downtown. We have a beach there. I said we. They have a beach there, so I would have took you to the beach. It smells bad, but it's still a beach. So I would have taken you to, like, to all the stuff. So I understand Lily trying to get him acquainted and acclimated to everything, but she's doing, like, spending money. Because she keeps saying, like, oh, I'm broke, I don't have any money. But then, you know, broke people don't go and get massages. You know, broke people don't go wedding dress shopping and spending all this money and trying to spend 20, 30 grand on a wedding that Josh actually said in this episode he doesn't even want. She disagrees. She remembers him saying that this was what he wanted. He wanted a Chinese wedding. He said that he doesn't care either way. So I think it's more of a keeping up of appearances for Lily. I think Lily and her community is known as somebody with money. And anything that she does, you know, it's going to draw a crowd and it's going to draw attention as a female business owner with a house, with an elevator. You know, you're going to expect a decent ceremony. And I think that she's going to make herself broke doing that.
Well, for 30 people, what kind of money do you think? I mean, which I know China is, I mean, the money's different over there, but I mean, is it really going to be that expensive? I mean, like, for 30 people? I mean, 30 people isn't a lot of people. Not for a wedding anyway.
Well, no, in America, 30 people, like, you could pay for that without even financing it or charging. Like, 30 people is, like, basically the justice of the peace, right? Like, 30 people, you can just pay, like, hell, you could give a church $500 to use the church, and then your cousin can cater it, and you literally can get the whole thing done for like $1,000. Like, 30 people is like nothing, you know, depending on what you want done, right? I know people who've gotten married and spent $25,000, and I'm still to this day trying to figure out where the money went because I didn't see it. They just wasted money. And I feel like somebody said, broke folks don't sink $500,000 into their homes. Right, Donna, exactly. I think her definition of broke, and again, in China, it might mean something different, right? Because remember I told y'all this last week, my definition of broke isn't really broke. I have money, I just don't feel comfortable spending any.
No, my definition of broke is I'm going to the kiosk machine in Walmart with my change.
I think that's the miscommunication. I think Lily is like, oh, I only have like $40,000 left of like the $500,000, you know, that she sank into the house. So she's like, well, I'm broke. $40,000 is not enough. And, you know, I get that. I'm the same way. I'm like, oh, I don't have enough money to satisfy my comfort level to go on a trip, you know, so I'm not going to do that. So I totally get that. I think that she's definitely not broke, but I'm wondering how long is she gonna be attracted to a man who doesn't provide anything for her? You know, because, you know, in Chinese culture, the man is supposed to go out and work and take care of his whole family. And, you know, when you get married, you're all supposed to still live together in the same house. And you're supposed to take care of her parents too. You know, like, it's a huge responsibility on the man. And he's just gonna be there as, you know, I introduced you to this term last week, right? He's gonna be her kept man. Her boy toy, right? He's going to be this kept man. And women, they don't typically stick with a kept man for that long. Like, because, your attention span gets really short, you know, when you don't need a man and you just want one. Women tend to, you know, they'll get sick of you pretty quickly, right? And no offense to Josh. Josh seems like a decent guy, but is he kept man material? You know, like, is he what a millionaire woman would want on her shoulder? Like, that's my question.
I don't know. That's a very good question. That is a very good question. Y'all already know what I would say. I don't care who it is. I don't want kept man, and I ain't going to be no kept woman. Hands down.
Guy, right? A nice guy, but nice guys usually aren't kept men. Kept men are usually guys that look like they fell out of a magazine into her car, right? Like, they look a certain way. It's just like what arm candy is for a man, but just vice versa. She has arm candy, you know, on her arm, and that's kind of what, you know, a woman who has that much money can do. Why not, right? Like, if you're that much of a boss woman and you have that much money, why not show off, you know, the person that you have? Men do it every day. Like, every time I go online and see these pictures of the celebrity men, there's, what's that guy's name, Robert De Niro? He just had a baby. He's like 80 something with this young pretty girl, and it's like they're just showing off, you know, this is how wealthy I am, look what I can do. Right? Like, look what I can do.
I gotta answer Riley. I'm telling you, you could not handle me, okay? I'm telling you, I am too hot to handle. I am a hot mess. I am a spicy disaster. You wouldn't be able to handle me, I'm telling you right now.
So wait, Riley said that you would keep him. Okay, you know what, I would love to see Dee Dee with a kept man, because I don't know if Dee Dee would know what to do with him. I feel like you would just be like, get up and go clean something, or get up and go do something. Like, you really wouldn't know what to do with him, and you would probably kick him out, right? I feel like you would probably kick him out. You were like, you haven't even paid any bills, you gotta go. Like, I feel like that's exactly how you would handle that.
Gots to go.
Well, Donna, I don't keep says that. Donna says that Josh needs to be a 10, not a Nebraska 6. Oh, Nebraska 6. That's like a LA 3. That's low. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to last. And, you know, he's given up a lot. He sold his house and he gave up his job. And everybody keeps saying he's a man child. Do you get that vibe from Josh? Do you feel like he's just a grown adult boy? Because he was really excited about China, because he was like, oh my God, it's like in the movies. It's like with my Legos, I get to see all the stuff in China that I saw, you know, in the movies.
I mean, he is acting like a kid in a candy store. So I got to see some more of Josh. I don't know yet. I'm still, my thoughts about him is still up in the air.
He seems nice though. All right, so speaking of the opposite of that, yes, Riley, he plays with Legos. See, you were behind, Riley, you're behind. He is a Lego man. He has drones, remote control cars, remote control boats. Like, he literally plays with toys. You know how the saying is, a woman says she wants a man that plays with her, not toys. He literally plays with toys. Like, he literally was asking her when he first got to China, like, point me in the direction of like a Lego store or a drone store or a store that sells toys. That's literally what he was looking for. So that's why I'm wondering, you know, for a kept man who doesn't even see her as his entertainment, you know, how long is that going to last? But I want to get on this Sarper and Shekinah thing, because...
Oh, God. Wait, do we got to?
Riley says, I have drones and RC cars. I have drones. I don't have RC cars. So, yeah, I don't want to make it seem like I'm a big kid. But, yeah, I have drones that I usually get stuck in trees when I fly them, because I'm not, like, a pilot. So I buy them periodically, because the trees are usually too tall for me to get them down. Anyway, so Sarper and Shekinah were on this episode, and Sarper's ex-girlfriend, Nora. Okay, so first of all, Sarper and Shekinah posted, remember last season, she got him to post her online as her man, because remember, he refused to do that for like the entire time that they were dating. He was, his defense, I don't want anybody to, you know, hate on our relationship. But in actuality, he was actually hiding her from all of the women that had horrible opinions of him. So, backstory, Sarper was a chubby kid in high school. And not only that affected him a lot mentally, but the girl that he was dating in high school cheated on him. So now he believes that no woman on this planet can be trusted. He said that his dad told him no woman can ever be trusted. And then the thing is, Shekinah's the first woman that he's ever loved or trusted, or supposedly that's the story he's feeding her. So this woman, Nora, along with lots of other women, has been messaging Shekinah after they went Instagram official. So he's got all these women that all want to say how much of a bad human being he is, which we know. But my question to you, Didi, is if you are single and you start dating a guy and it's a new relationship and y'all post a picture together and you start getting direct messages from women that dated him in the past, is that information valuable to you? Or do you think that since they're exes, exes don't typically have anything positive to say, so you don't want to hear it? Where would you stand in that situation?
I don't give a, I don't care, because I didn't know him in the past. It's none of my business. I don't care what went on between my partner and their ex. That's none of my business. I don't care. As long as they don't try to break up or interfere in the relationship that I have at the moment, I don't give a crap what they say or think. Because at the end of the day, I mean, they, like you said, even if they did break up on good terms, they're still going to talk bull crap about them. So,
see, I don't know. I think that I stand by the statement exes never have anything positive to say about you. I believe that. But say for instance, in Shekinah's case, like 5 or 6 or 7 women all reached out. Is that strange that the number is high, or it doesn't matter to you?
I don't care. It has nothing to do with me.
So you really don't want to hear anything they have to say. No. So basically, after you and Kara do like an extensive background check on him and everything checks out, you're good. You don't have any, you're not worried about what the other women have to say.
No, exactly. Because me and Kara done did all the extensive background check. So why do I need to listen to anything anybody got to say? I already know what I need to know.
I mean, yeah, I think as long as you know he's not an axe murderer, but it might be interesting to hear what other people thought of him through the relationship. But I think that what you're saying is the information is going to be tainted because it's an ex. Yeah. And nobody really ends a relationship on good terms. People say that they do. There's always a little bit of animosity, right? Because usually when a breakup happens, it's usually not, what's that word where both people agree?
They're in agreement.
Yeah, like it's usually one person feels one way and another person doesn't. That's usually how, you know, because usually in divorce too, they're not going to both say, okay, let's get divorced, and then everybody signs the paper and everyone's happy. There's usually a bitter party and a not so bitter party who just wants to rid that person from their life. So I think in your opinion is pretty accurate though, because if you were to talk to one of my exes, they'll probably say something negative about me. And I know that I'm not like mean or abusive or anything, but as an ex, you know, you're always gonna think of the negative stuff, because first of all, you've moved on, you're in a new relationship and you're happy. So you're looking back at a time where you were not happy and you wanna express that into words to somebody. And there's also that little ounce of revenge, because now you're talking to your ex's new person and you get to get a little bit of revenge. Hey, Tracy, you get to have a little revenge on them after the fact. And I think that's sometimes why people ignore these types of messages, because it's like, well, why do you want to ruin his relationship now? You know, you're moved on, you should be happy. But I mean, there are a few cases where I would want people to be warned, like if the person was like physically abusive to them, it is okay for you. But you know, that's a huge accusation without some way to prove, right? Because you could easily say they were physically abusive, but if they were never arrested, is it, were they, or you just want them to go to hell?
If you're going to come to me and you're going to tell me something about anybody, even if it's a friend of mine, if you're going to come with the negative stuff, you better bring receipts, because I know how people talk. I'm not going to listen to nothing anybody has to say. So if you're coming to me and you're telling me, oh, don't hang out with them or don't be with them because they're abusive or they this or they that, bring receipts. That's all I got to say, because I know how people talk.
Yeah. Riley said that his ex would call him Captain Killamood. What is a Captain Killamood? Is that like somebody who just like goes into somebody's happy party and makes it dull? Like, what is a Killamood? How do you kill the mood all the time? Like, Riley, what What are you doing? What's your deal?
Riley. Yeah, Riley, you need to tell me what you're talking about. Talk to us, Riley.
Why are you killing the mood? I mean, but I think it's also easier to fall into this because we know that Sarper is not the most decent person ever. So it's like, it's easier. It's like when you have a negative opinion of someone, like he's come on the show and told us he slept with 2,500 women. He doesn't care about these women. He doesn't even know their names. He doesn't care about treating women well because he can't trust women. He's never loved women. They've just been an object to him. So when you hear somebody say something about him, it's easy for you to lean in that direction because especially my opinion of him is already in that direction. I don't agree with the way he treats women in general. And the way his eyes got really, really big when Shekinah said the ex's name. She said, I talked to your ex, Nora, and he went into this state of panic. I was like, that's not a look of guilt, I don't know what is, right? Like, that was the most guiltiest look, right? Like, have you ever walked in the house and if you have a cat or a dog and you catch them in the act destroying something in your house and then they give you that look, like, well, you caught me? That was the look. I was like, he just looked like, oh, shit.
He looked like a deer now in headlights.
Yeah, because I was like, if you didn't do anything wrong, she can go and talk to anybody, right? I mean, you could be worried because it's like we said, it's an ex and she might just make a whole bunch of stuff up about you. But if y'all's relationship is as strong as you say it is, she should be able to see through that, right? So one exactly. of the things that Nora said was, he said he loved her. And Sarper said to Shekinah that she was the first woman at 43 years old that he said he loved her to. So I didn't.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there for a second. If Shekinah is as smart as she says she is, what did Sarper tell her that he told her the first time they were together? He told her that he told her, he said that he told her that he loved her just so he could get into her pants. He was looking at her only for a one-night stand.
That is exactly what he told her. See, this is why I like having really good co-hosts, female co-hosts, because I forgot all about that. Y'all don't forget nothing. That is exactly what he said when he was telling the story of how they met. Because remember, he said that he was having a threesome with two additional women other than Shekinah that night. And she messaged him or whatever, and he saw her at the bar. I don't remember what it was. And he said, I love you and you're beautiful, because he wanted to sleep with her because he knew she was going back to LA. He had no interest.
Then the next day, he was in the bed with two other women. She called while he was in the bed with supposedly two women, don't know. She wanted to go over there because she wanted to be with him again. So after he got banging the two women's head up against the headboard, he's going to turn around and bang her? Like, that is disgusting. Like, that is
she's still in it. She's still in this. Like, it's the relationship.
And if she believes that he is faithful to her, she is stupid.
Well, he's trying to make it really believable. Did you hear that he was, like, naming off, like, 107 days and 200,000 hour minutes? And he was, like, saying how long it's been since he had seen her. And I get it, counting down days and throwing out numbers can be impressive, you know, to somebody like Shekinah, who is impressed by the fact that he didn't shave his back.
That in front of me will get you punched in the face and jump in throat punch.
It's not difficult to impress Shekinah. She's very impressed. And I think it has to do with her past. I'm not a doctor, by the way, but I think it has to do with her past relationships. I think she's been treated a certain type of way. So when guys do anything that she even remotely thinks is a sweet, kind gesture, she takes it to a next level because she's like, oh, he's just trying to be sweet. And I was like, is he? He was basically saying, I would let anybody shave my back because I would be sleeping with everybody. But he's like, since we're in a relationship, I'm not being a male whore because I love you. Is that really sweet? You know, like, I don't want, because it's also making it seem like, you should be happy that I'm being faithful to you. And that shouldn't be something that she feels good about because you're doing it. It should be something you want to do because you want to do it because you love her. You know, like, don't make her feel like you're doing her a favor by not sleeping with everyone. Did you catch in the other episode a couple weeks ago, he said that he slept with his sister-in-law's best friend, and he said that she didn't know? Did you catch that? Because he was like, I don't want to talk about that. He was like, I've slept with a bunch of her friends, one being her best friend, and she doesn't know, so let's keep that quiet. And I was like, that's his own family. Can you imagine what he would do to somebody he's not related to? Like, that's his own family. He's doing things behind his.
You froze there for a second.
Oh.
You're back. Yeah.
So what did you think about the belly dancer that production paid to come and dance on Starper during that?
I thought it was funny.
Hi, Jemima. Hi. Yeah, did you think that was funny? Because I was like, there's, of all the people in the restaurant, she refused to go to anyone else. And it was just funny to me because I was like, y'all are really reaching at this point. Like, I know that Shekinah and Sarper are annoying to watch, but y'all are really reaching with this belly dancer. And we had a belly dancer on 90 Day Fiancé UK, I think, on the first season. And it was, she would go around and dance. And I remember the guy she was dating used to hate it. And, you know, I mean, I get it. You know, if you're on a date, you don't want a woman to come and dance on your boyfriend or whatever, or your husband. So I totally understand, but there's no way they picked Sarper out of everybody in that restaurant to harass, because she wouldn't leave. And then after she was over by them, she went on stage as though nobody else was there. It was so awesome.
I lost you again. You're back.
Oh.
You keep freezing. Is it on your end or my end?
It's probably on my end. I don't know. I think it's raining outside.
Hmm.
No.
I thought it was funny because Shekinah was getting jealous. I mean, I thought it was funny. Like, I really did. She deserves it for being, she deserves it.
I mean, nobody really feels bad for Shekinah at this point because she knows the red flags. It's kind of like people are looking at it like Angela and Michael. You've known the red flags. You know the issues. He's been honest with you. You know, he told you that he didn't care about women's feelings. He lied to women. He did whatever he could to get them in bed. He doesn't remember their name. He didn't like respect women enough to even write down the names in the book. It was just an ex. Like, they had no real feeling or connection. So it's like, if she wants to turn that type of guy into a husband, you know, isn't that the saying, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife? You can't turn a hoe into a house husband either, right? Like, he is who he is, right?
This man, she is allowing this man to have champagne bottles from exes. She is allowing this man to have to be sleeping. She's sleeping with this man on the same bed, same mattress, same everything that he had supposedly all these 2,500 women on. She is allowing him to keep exes, panties, undergarments, whatever he wants. So, yeah, she deserves everything he throws at her. Just saying.
I agree with you 100%. So, oh, so Josh, not Josh, James arrived in Indonesia, and shit's about to hit the fan, though, because for some reason, Matalia won't tell her parents that she's living there. Like, she thinks that, hi, Raquel. They think that she's visiting. They also think that Josh is visiting, and they're trying to move in. And I'm really worried about them, because two unemployed people with no savings are moving to Indonesia, and not telling anyone they're moving to Indonesia, and they're just hoping that things are going to work out. It gives me Brandon and Mary vibes. Like, it's giving me a lot of Brandon and Mary vibes, and I'm like, are they going to just have to post like a GoFundMe and ask people to pay their rent? You know, because it seems the parents really don't want them staying there. I mean, the mom said on this episode, she was like, I really want you to stay here forever. And I think all mothers say that. They don't really mean it. But I don't think she wants her to live there forever with her husband.
I don't know. I would be one happy mama if my babies moved back home. So
with their husband too? Like, would you be cool with
bring
that?
Everybody. I would be one happy mama.
Okay.
I'm a mama bear. I love my babies, so they always gonna be my babies.
So how far away do they live right now?
One lives like 5 minutes away, and the other one lives about an hour and a half away.
Oh, yeah. That's close. I live, my mom is like 12, 13 hours from me. She's in Louisiana. Yeah, and when I was in Ohio, it was worse than that. It was like 18 hours. So, yeah.
Yeah, my babies can come home anytime they want to.
Well, let's hope that it works that way with Natalia, because they don't got no money and they don't got nowhere to stay. So I saw a scene where James saw where they were going to be staying, and it was like a box. It was a room. It's like a box, and he referred to it as a jail cell. I think jail cells are smaller than that. But, it, you know, basically he said it was like unfinished. You know, it was just like concrete and wall. And, you know, it wasn't what he's used to, you know, because he lived in Maine, and he had a good job. And he was in charge of his own finances and his own life, and he made those decisions. So, yeah, it's not going to be anything what he expects, because you have to remember, in Indonesia, their standard of living is different. We learned this about India, too, because we used to be talking about this on the podcast as well. Their houses and the standard of living is so much different. You know, what they consider clean or beautiful or new, we would consider outdated, and we would call it a teardown. Now, it's funny, because in America, we'll look at a perfectly decent house and we'll be like, oh, that's a teardown. We would tear that down and start over. But like in other countries, that is a perfectly livable house that they will be living in for like 20 years. But like in America, our standard is so much different. You know, we look at a house that was built in 1999 and we're like, that's a teardown. I'm not living in that. I'll tear it down and build something decent over it. You know, but, you know, I think that it's going to be interesting for him in two ways. He can't really make the living that he's used to making in Indonesia, because even if, you know, they do this traveling banana chip business, which is just, I don't know what to say about that. How much money are you going to be making? Because if you're traveling, you're putting money into it. You know, like, you can't travel places for free. If you are traveling to another town, you have to just, wait, you made it. Think of House Hunters. Yes, House Hunters. I used to actually watch that show, Tracy. Yeah, and you know, they're tearing down perfectly good houses, but it's the American way, right? We're tearing down perfectly good houses, and we're tearing down perfectly good buildings to tear them down and make another building that we could have used the first one for. But yeah, I think that James is going to have a lot to adjust to. But in my opinion, I think that James is not going to stay in Indonesia. I think he's going to get there. He's going to realize how difficult it is to make a living over there, just in general, and he's going to come home. And in my opinion, I think Natalia is going to follow him, because, guys, remember, they've now followed each other. Natalia moved to Maine for him. She moved him to Florida. They moved back to Maine, and now he's moved to Indonesia for her. In my opinion, if that's not true love, I'm not 100% sure what is. I'm not moving states. I might not even move cities for people. So, like, they've moved states, countries, over oceans for each other. Vice versa. I think that they love each other. So if it doesn't work out in Indonesia, I definitely think that they'll move back to Maine and they'll still be together. They've been together for 5 years. Like, I don't see how that would be a deal breaker.
We'll see.
We gonna see, right? We gonna see. So there's this new show, guys. It's called Forbidden Love. It's on TLC. It came on after the tell-all on Sunday. And I really love this. It sucks because Kara can't be here. She's the one that told me to watch it, because she wanted to be on here. So she'll be on here next week, so we can talk about it, obviously. These folks don't even do a Google search before moving to a different country. No, they don't. They really don't, and it's scary. I definitely agree with that. Okay, so this show is about extreme cultural differences. And Didi and I and Kara, too, we've been talking about this for years, obviously, with 90 Fiancé. But this, it takes it a step further, because on this show, there's like, there's Pentecostal Christian who is trying to marry a Muslim woman. And ironically, the Muslim person isn't trying to force anything on them. It's his family trying to force Christianity on her. And his dad is a pastor, and there's just all these issues. And then there was a Orthodox Jewish guy named Eli who's trying to marry this very Staten Island girl, right? I get really Catholic. Staten Island.
Yeah,
Catholic. And it's just crazy when you hear about all of the things that she has to change, right? So I didn't know this. So apparently Orthodox Jewish women are always wearing wigs when they're out in public. So I had no freaking clue, right? So the only person who can see an Orthodox Jewish woman's hair is her husband. Not even her mother-in-law.
Well, you know, I would rather wear wigs than the, what is that thing, that hijab or something? I would, yeah.
The hijab is where the Muslim women have to hide their hair, period, for anyone other than their husband. And, you know, I guess, so I was going to ask you that, so you answered it. So you would rather do the wig thing. Would you consider marrying somebody who would make you change the way you wear your hair or cook your food or how you dress?
Nope, because like, I'm not changing for nobody. If you can't accept me how I am, then don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Hands so down.
It's an absolutely no. Nope. Oh, wait. Sap Bunny says that her bestie is an Orthodox and does not do any of that. So, okay, is it a woman or a man? Because I know the rules are a little less strict when it comes to men to women, because the guy on the show Forbidden Love, Eli, he has like a tattoo arm sleeve, and technically in their religion they said that he's not supposed to have those tattoos, but I guess when you're a man it's more acceptable for you to break the rules than it is for a woman. And we've learned this a lot about Muslim and Jewish rules when it comes to their religion. Women are held to a much higher standard than men, which I don't understand why, but again, I'm uneducated on, you know, their beliefs. I don't know a lot about it, but I just feel like, not sure why women are so strictly forced to change the way they dress, their hair, who they associate with. Oh, and she said something about two types of sinks, a kosher and a non-kosher sink. So when she's cooking meat, it can only go in one side of the sink. And then when she's cooking anything that, because I guess they can't touch each other. But my question, this might be a stupid question. If everything goes down the same mouth, okay, this might be really disrespectful to the religion. If it is, I'm sorry. But if you're going to eat meat and then you're going to eat like kosher and non-kosher, so does it matter if it goes down the same mouth? Because that was the first thing I thought of. Because I was like, if it's going into the same place, what is the difference between how it was cooked, if it touched meat or not, if you're going to chew it with the same two teeth, right?
I don't know. That's a crazy culture. Now, there are a lot of beautiful cultures out there, but this one's a crazy culture. Like, she's saying that she can't even put cheese on her meat because it's dairy.
Right.
It's like pulling the...
But...
What she has to say?
Still,
yeah.
Wasn't she saying she could still eat cheese? It just can't touch the meat. It's very confusing because you would think that she just couldn't have it at all. That was what so was confusing to me. Oh, Raquel says, in some places, Jews have two kitchens, one kosher kitchen and one not. So, Raquel, question. Are Jewish people allowed to eat kosher and non-kosher food, or do they only eat kosher food? And if so, what is the non-kosher kitchen used for? Because I'm trying to understand the significance of making sure that there's kosher and non-kosher and they don't mix. Are they cooking for non-Jewish people in the non-kosher kitchen? Like, it's very confusing for me. Because when I was growing up, I was a Seventh-day Adventist, and we just could not eat certain things. It's like we couldn't eat meat, we couldn't eat seafood, anything seafood had to have fins and scales. We couldn't have anything that was cooked with meat, anything that, I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. Like anything that was mixed in with meat, anything that was in a pot with meat, we couldn't have any of that. Like there was no kosher, non-kosher, it was just no. Oh, so it has to be kosher. So Sap Bunny says that they can only eat kosher food. So what would the non-kosher kitchen stuff be for? Because that's also confusing. Because I was like, if everybody...
Maybe the people that's over that doesn't eat kosher food. I don't know. If that's a really different culture. That would be something that would definitely need to be studied. I mean, she should have did her study before she got with someone like that. But at the end of the day, as far as me, I'm not changing who I am. I'm not changing my religion. And talking about, you know, the Pentecostal, having the Pentecostal preacher, I thought that was funny because my dad was a Pentecostal preacher. To look really? At me now, you would never think my dad was a Pentecostal preacher, but he was, yes. And I was like, I was just looking because I was like, why? Okay, Pentecostal women don't dress how his mom was dressed. And Pentecostal,
she was dressed normal, right? Yeah,
yeah,
in the episode.
Yeah, Pentecostal, true, legit Pentecostals, women cannot dress like that. They have to have long sleeve. They have to have pretty much a turtleneck. They cannot cut their hair. They cannot wear jewelry. They cannot wear makeup. They have to wear dresses or skirts all the way down to the floor.
See, that's interesting because when I was growing up, it was the same for the women in my religion. They couldn't wear makeup. They couldn't wear pants. They definitely couldn't like have like anything showing. Like, and this wasn't just at church. This was like all the time. Because I remember when I went to school, I went to the school that was a part of that religion. The girls had to always be dressed a certain way. Like the boys, we could get away with wearing shorts. The girls couldn't get away with that. Like they didn't allow it.
No, because when I was in Mexico with my dad, I had to wear dresses, that long sleeve dress, like long sleeves, all the way, and then they had to be all the way down to my ankles. To this day, I will not put on a dress. You have to fight me tooth and nail to put on a dress. I hate dresses. I hate them. I hate them with a passion.
That's crazy. That's good. And it's because of your religion, right? It's not because it's a trauma thing, because I'm the same way. So I'm going to say, when I was watching this episode, listening to the Pentecostal preacher and his family, it was like trauma response, like, because that reminded me so much of what it was like in my household. And it's interesting because no one in my household was a preacher. My grandmother was a pastor, but no, like my mom wasn't, my dad wasn't, but they were just so into the religion. It felt like I was in a pastor's house. Because everything, no matter what I did or what I wanted to do, it was always wrong. It was always a sin. I couldn't hang out with my friends. I couldn't go bowling. I couldn't go skating. I couldn't listen to any music. I couldn't, like, everything was wrong. And it was like, so when I was listening to the dad say, oh, well, I won't accept her religion, but I'll try to help her convert. And I was like, I hate that because it reminded me when he said, well, oh, was she born into it or was she forced into it? And I was like, everybody who's in religion, if you were born, you were forced into it. And I hate to say it, but you didn't have a choice, because when I was christened as a baby, I couldn't talk. You know, like, I didn't have any say in that. I couldn't move, speak. I couldn't wipe anything of my own. Like, I wasn't given the opportunity. And then when I got old enough to do all that, I was told by my mom I had to get baptized. I was never given a choice, right? Like, it was always, this is what you need to do. So it just brought back a lot of trauma for me, because I was like, man, I hate to see that people are still going through this to this day. It's still like, it's a horror story for me, but this is real life for people still to this day. Like, they're still going through that.
Yeah. I mean, now don't get me wrong. I love going to a Pentecostal church. You know, I really love it. And I mean, if you want to have a good church, you go to a Pentecostal church. That's some good church right there. But I'm not going to force, I never force my kids to wear dresses, my girls, I let them decide what religion they want to choose, because at the end of the day, it's between them and God what they choose. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to make them do anything, because I was made to be in Pentecostal. I had to wear certain things. My hair had to look a certain way. I had to act a certain way. You know what I'm saying? So I was not going to do that to my kids.
So there's a guy and a woman on this show. Actually, there's two more people, but one is an Amish. He was Amish. And then it was like an older woman that he ended up with. And he's having an issue, because we were talking about porn addiction yesterday, right? He's having an issue with porn because I guess growing up, you know, as an Amish boy, he didn't have the internet, and he didn't realize, you know, and he was also a virgin until I think he said he was 23 is what he said, which I can't imagine, can't fathom. But now that he's in a relationship with her, he is hiding from her and on his phone watching pornography, and she's like trying really trying to get him off of that. And I can't imagine that can be easy for a woman, you know, to know that there's someone that loves you and you want to be desired and they're just so into that other stuff. It's crazy to me. And he said something really crazy on the first episode where he said that the Amish men were having sex with non-humans. Yeah, Judy, you said it. I don't want to get kicked off alive. I don't know how much you can talk about that type of stuff. But he said that they were doing that, and that was just so crazy. And then she asked him if he was doing that, and he had a really, really long pause. And I was like, why are you pausing? The answer to that is no. You're not doing that, right? Well, and then he didn't
answer. Have you ever seen that show? I think it's called Breaking Amish or something. I used to watch it, but then I got tired of watching it because that's crazy. Like, that kind of lifestyle is crazy. I mean, and they all said that all the boys and the men did that, you know, every one of them.
That's insane. Yeah. Also, Donna said that, what's his name? I can't remember his name. This boy who's on this season of Forbidden Love, he was on season 4 of Breaking Amish. I didn't realize that. I didn't watch Breaking Amish. But I watched it
for a little bit and I quit because to me, I mean, that's just, it's disgusting.
I didn't know that that was going on. But you know, we've heard of things in the Catholic Church with priests and, you know, so it's so disturbing that religion, which is supposed to be something that brings us all closer to a higher power, there's such terrible things happening inside of those religions, right? That I think that's what really scares me, because the whole purpose of religion is to make you a better human being, you closer to a higher power, whether you believe in God or Allah or whatever that higher power is. Religion is supposed to build you up and bring you closer to that. And then we hear about the negative, terrible things that are going on inside the religion, and it's just so mind-boggling to think that people are going to church and working towards being better people, but there are also things like that going on. Yeah, Portuguese princess is like, don't get me started on Catholicism, right? Yeah, it's really scary. Oh, and also there's another couple. It's a white girl from Iowa, I think she's, or Missouri, and she's with a Muslim man, and her family really.
She's from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, right. And you know, he's a Muslim man, and you know, I'm going to put this out there. I think the hardest religion for a woman to marry into is becoming a Muslim wife. I think that since we've been watching these shows, the most difficult transition I've ever seen is for a woman, a normal, you know, woman who, you know, might be religious, might be spiritual. Yeah, Shekinah. I think Shekinah was Amish, if I'm not mistaken. Didi, wasn't Shekinah? I believe she said she grew up Amish.
I think that's what she said. No wonder she.
Yeah. So there's some trauma there, right? But yeah, I think in my opinion, for a woman to go into any religion that she wasn't a part of before, becoming a Muslim wife is going to be the most difficult. And you know, we were watching this story where and. They already have a kid together, so I'm not exactly sure why the family won't just accept him. But the sister called him a really, really bad, terrible word, right? Starts with a T, and it's something that you don't call people of that religion. It's just not fair to do a one-size-fits-all on that. And her sister denied. She was like, well, I said it out loud, but I wasn't necessarily talking about him. And I was like, just own it. Just own it. You called them that name. And apologize so y'all can be a family. She said that she stopped talking to her sister for like 2 years, and he doesn't want her to have anything to do with her family. And these type of relationships really scare me, where you know you marry this guy and then you have to like stop talking to your family. You can't, because she, or when she goes to see her family, he won't be present, you know. And it's kind of like she's in a position where she has to pick between her husband and her family. Those are really scary too. You know, and then he's telling her how she should and shouldn't dress. I never understood, in my opinion, why the Muslim religion is so strict on women's dress, but men can literally dress any way they want. You know, because aren't men supposed to be like a prime example of their higher power, who they believe in. And it's like, I don't understand why they can just wear Tommy Hilfiger and polo and just look normal. And then the woman has to be in head to toe.
I think it's a macho thing, to be honest with you. I don't think religion has anything to do with it. I think it's a macho thing. So, because the Muslim people, they expect their wives to bow down to them.
See, I agree with you. Remember Nicole and Mahmoud? It was never that she was dressing inappropriate, because Nicole, let's be real, she was never dressing like a hoochie. She dressed normal, you know, for someone in our country. She covered up more than most women. Especially
someone from California. That's a lot of clothes.
Right. She dressed perfectly fine. But in Mahmoud's eyes, he's like, well, you're my wife. You can't look that way. And you're right. It might be more of a man having power over his wife situation. Because I don't understand that religion. And again, I don't want to sound ignorant, you know, but I believe that all people are equal. You know, I believe that in any relationship, man, female, whatever, everyone is equal and you should all meet each other halfway. You know, and I don't feel like anybody should be more required to do things than the other. Like, because the girl on the show, she was like, I feel like he's telling me do as I say, not as I do, because he does whatever he wants, but she has to do what he says. And I just don't feel like that's how relationships should work. You know, like if you're telling me not to do something, I obviously shouldn't see you doing it. If we're going to do it, if we're going to both make the decision together to not do something, we should do that together.
But see, I'm never going to do anything a man tells me to do. Hands down. I'm telling you, I'm a handful. I will never, I don't care what religion you are, what culture you from. I don't care. There ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Hands down.
No chance. So if a man said to you, I want to marry you, I just need you to convert to my religion, you're just going to tell him, bye.
Kiss my American ass.
You sound like Angela. You sound like Angela. So you really are just like, no, even if you really love the guy and y'all have been in a relationship for a long time, it's still like a no, you don't care?
No, because if he really, truly loves me, then he's gonna accept me for who I am, and he's going to accept my religion like I would accept his religion. Just because, and that's one thing that I didn't like on the Pentecostal parents. They said a house divided will never stand. That's not true. That is not true. I mean, just because you're not of the same religion does not mean that your house is divided. You have to have a happy medium. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If just because you're Catholic and I'm Christian, or I'm Catholic and you're Muslim, or whatever it is, as long as we have that happy medium, what does it matter?
I don't see how religion can be a make or break in a relationship if you're both open to accepting each other's, like you said, practices. Like, you can't just say, oh, my religion is the only religion that is going to take presence in this relationship. You just have to be open to respecting each other. Like, for instance, the girl who's marrying the Orthodox Jewish husband, just cook him kosher food every day. And then if you, mm-hmm. you want to eat a non-kosher food, cook it the right way and respect his beliefs. But you shouldn't have to convert and only do what he does. Like, I feel like you could both live happily doing your own thing as long as you both have equal respect for each other. Right, like as long as you respect where they came from and how they were raised, and vice versa, then you can make it work. Like that, it really irritated me though when they used that scripture, a house divided will never stand, because I don't believe that the scripture was referring to religion. I think the scripture was referring to other things. Like, I think there are core beliefs that you need in a marriage. I don't think that religion necessarily is one of them, but there are things that you both need to agree on in order for you to be in a relationship, right? Like, I feel like there are things, if you don't agree on it, you might not work as a relationship. But, you know, I think that there are core beliefs. I think that religion is definitely something that is very personal, and we're all born with a different belief and understanding of religion. So it's crazy to me when people are like, oh, we should all be the same when it comes to religion. And it's like, we were all born and have different understandings and beliefs of religion. So it would be crazy for us to all conform to one way of thinking it wouldn't make sense. We're not robots, you know, like it wouldn't make sense.
Exactly. Exactly. As long as you love each other and respect each other and respect each other's religion and y'all have a happy medium, it doesn't matter. Like I said, at the end of the day, you have your beliefs, I have my beliefs. As long as we're okay with it, so what about what other people say or think?
Yeah. See, I have enough religious trauma that I know that I would have never ended up on this show, you know, because nobody is going to force me into a religion. That's my whole childhood. I was forced into a religion. I was forced to live a lifestyle that I didn't agree with. So I would never find myself in that situation. And it scares me, you know, watching these people, because I don't think they really know what they're getting into. Like the girl who has to wear a wig in public. She has really beautiful hair, by the way. Really beautiful hair. I can't imagine someone, the boyfriend was like, oh, well, you could just put your wig on and you're ready to go. And I was like, I don't think that that's what women think about. You know, I don't think that that's what they're thinking about if they could get ready faster. Women want to feel comfortable in their own skin and in their own body. And I feel like putting a wig on her head to go out, she's not going to feel like she's herself, right?
Exactly.
Like you should be yourself when you go out or you go, because even if her husband's not present, she's still not allowed to just wear her own hair, you know? And I feel like when you have to change who you are completely to make another person happy, you don't need to be making that person happy, right? Yeah. Like, you need to be making yourself happy. And I think that's where you land with it, Dee Dee, because you're like, if you're happy or not, that's irrelevant to my life. I'm going to be happy, though, right? Yep. Like, I feel like that's how you look at it. You're like, if you can't figure out how to make yourself happy, you know, I can't help you with that. You know, that's not my job. I can't make your life perfect, right? Like, you have to put some effort into that. And I think religion, you know, it should be important, just like spirituality should be important. But I think in a lot of these situations, religion is held higher in the core value sense than it should be. I believe as long as you believe what you believe and you believe it in your heart to be true, whether other people believe it or not doesn't change that in your heart. You know, and I feel like religion has turned into like a numbers game of how many people can I convert, you know, and I don't want people to think that way. I want you to be happy knowing that you found the religion that works for you. And you have to understand that it might not work for everybody else, but you know in your heart that you're doing the right thing.
Exactly.
All right. Okay, so we're going to come back next week for part 2 of 5. Of the Happily Ever After tell all. Part 1 was pretty good, though. It was pretty good. And also, if you didn't see it on the 90 Day Fiancé main account on Instagram, they released the Before the 90 Days trailer, which introduced us to the next set of people coming in for Before the 90 Days. New people. So I'm happy. So if you haven't seen that, take a look. That's going to be premiering in September. So somewhere around the end of this tell-all is when we're going to get Before the 90 Days. Oh, and yeah, I want to say, address that real quick too. They said that the tell-alls will not be on streaming until the conclusion. So it means if you're not able to watch it live on TLC, I don't really know how you're supposed to watch it. I guess TLC Go is an option, but you know, I watched it on Max. It was not on Max. I've tried watching it on Hulu. Everywhere that I don't remember where I looked. Everywhere I looked, it wasn't there. So I don't know if there are enough people write in, maybe they'll change it. But I don't know why this is a thing. We've always gotten the tell-alls. Oh, so Sling. Was it on Sling? We've always gotten the tell-alls as they air on streaming. This is brand new. I have no idea why. Oh, so you did watch it on Hulu. I tried and I couldn't. So if you don't have TLC, the actual cable channel, I guess you're going to have to wait till it airs on Hulu the next day, which I think is completely insane. I'm sorry, guys. I wish that I had an option for you because I was struggling. Dee knows I was struggling to try to figure out a way to watch it yesterday, too. We were all in the same boat.
Yep, we were.
Yeah, we were all like, well, what are we supposed to do? Oh, Hulu Live TV TLC. Yeah, you're right. Hulu has Live TV and TLC Go. All right, guys. We're going to come back next week. We're going to talk about Happily Ever After, part 2 of the tell-all of 5. We're going to come back and we're going to do some more The Other Way And there's still two people on the other way we haven't met. So I don't know what's on that. It's kind of late. But, and we're going to talk about some more Forbidden Love. And then we're going to do an end of season wrap on Unexpected. So if you guys weren't watching Unexpected on TLC, it's coming towards the end. So we're going to be talking about that as well. Thank you so much to Dee Dee for joining me. We missed you, Kara. She was having some issues at work. She will be back next week. We are not letting her go. So don't worry about that. She will be back next week. Make sure you're following Dee Dee. She's tagged in this video. Make sure you're following me on all social media platforms at George Massey, GeorgeMassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show.